I look to the parable of the talents to actually proclaim something that I don't know that anybody else ever said. And Lord God, if this is wrong, please tell me, because you've never told me this isn't right. I feel like when we play small, it is a sin. Okay, it's not just you being humble to the nth degree. It's you being sinful. How do I know that? Or why do I believe that? It's not because Judy said it. It's because of the way I interpret the parable of the talents. What did the master say to the person, the man, who buried the one talent? Get away from me, you wicked, lazy servant.
But look around you, your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Listen up. For such a time as this, we must grow our faith and business muscles. The self-help industry is trying to own spirituality and well-being. The entrepreneurial space is becoming flooded with business pursuits focused on success instead of sustenance. But the only one who can make us fully whole, fully free, and fully alive is Jesus. So I am ecstatic you walked into this hypothetical gym today. I'm your trainer, Tamara Andress, also coined an entrepreneurial rabbi, teaching the pursuits of God, which unveil our purpose and ultimately unleash our desired provision. This FIT acronym is for founders, innovators, and trailblazers. Here, marketplace ministers conversate and educate to build others from the inside out while also sharing their testimonies of endurance. So while it's not a fitness broadcast, I do surely care about your mental, physical, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual health. You're going to hear all about it. If you're passionate about your becoming journey, leading others to greatness, and living a life of abundance and joy, then you're well on your way to being fit in faith. Let's hydrate.
All right. You all are here with the Fit in Faith podcast, as you always are. Thank you for being a loyal listener and an incredible community member. You guys are going to want to share this show right now. So if you're watching live, go do it now. If you're not, screenshot, share it on the social media channels, because you are going to have some assets here when you leave. And I believe in the building of assets connected to what it is that God has gifted us and talent that we have organically. And so does today's incredible guest, Judy Weber. She is a fellow Christian business coach. She does it specifically for women, and she's a strategist. And one of the things that I'm so excited for us to jump into today is normalizing mega success, both in impact and revenue. So if you are what you would consider a high achiever — I'm a recovering high achiever, but I still try and stay in the achievement of heaven — and also a successful CEO, you guys are going to want to share this show. You're going to be connected to Judy and I just as you listen. And Judy, I can't wait to hear the backstory of how you are, who you are, and have you here today. Thank you for your time.
Tamara, it is such an honor to be here. And as we talked about before we went live, Lord, may the tech work.
Please, come on. Oh, man. Well, Judy, I have 1,000 questions to ask you, because I told you before we jumped on, I was totally scouring the internet, not only listening to your podcast, watching your social media, just the fact that you're the speaker and the teacher that you are, even with your content, is incredible. And I think a lot of people want to do what you do. They want to be an author, a speaker, a writer, a teacher, a podcaster, right? That's really what attracts them to us. And so that high success is something that people want. And yet we know that success first comes in the quiet place, or in the place of the pit. So I'd love to hear your backstory. Was it a quiet place or a pit?
Well, I'm not a quiet person. I'm an extrovert and I love to be the center of attention. So I don't know that it would be a quiet place, but I could say I came to Christ in the pit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many different stories I could say, but I will just start there that I was raised in the church. And ever since I was like a little girl, I still remember the time Mom told me about Jesus. And, you know, she would always talk about him. And you know, I love that. When they talk about raising your kids in the faith, yes, yes, ma'am. But, you know, I really didn't get the relevance of the Old Testament stories that I heard all my life until I was in my late 30s and early 40s when I really came to Christ during my first business. Back in 2003, as I was driving from my house to these appointments, and I happened to be listening to Christian talk radio.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when the light bulbs went off. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what Noah's story has to do with my life today. That's what Abraham, when he was about to, you know, put the knife into his son that he loved so much, but God stopped him. And I mean, that's what it, you know, so all these light bulbs started going off. So I will tell you, all of my life, I've been a women's advocate because of my mom's strong influence on me. I, all of my life, felt that I was going to do something big. And I remember telling my mom, Mom, God says I'm going to be a millionaire one day. We were dirt poor. So unfortunately, Mom's not here these days. But if I were to say, Mom, what did you think in that moment? Because I don't think I ever asked her that question. She probably would have said, Judy, you were always my big girl. You were like my big mouth girl. You always had these big dreams. I probably just patted your head and said, okay. And
that's,
I didn't
nice.
Really know.
Yeah.
Simply. So anyway, so success for me has been long in coming. I had a very windy road to where I'm in right now. I'm happy to share any or all of that. But I just want everybody out there that's watching or listening to understand that I am nobody special. I am nothing. I am dirt. And when I look back at me before Christ, and I'm talking about me before my late 30s and 40s, especially in my college years, I was an arrogant person. I wouldn't have liked myself. I was very arrogant. I thought I knew everything. I know now I knew nothing. And so, you know, and you look at me today as this lawyer and this successful entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, and you might say, oh, well, of course she succeeded because she had A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I had nothing but love for my family and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all I needed. So if that's all you have right now, sister, and if even all you have is Christ, that's enough.
Come
on. If you have Christ and His coming on your life, you're good.
It's so true. And I love, you said, I am nothing but dirt. That's not self-deprecation. She stands in confidence and you can see that clearly, but truly we came from dirt, right? We came from mud, and Jesus, literally God stooped down to pick us up. And I love that it was in the pit. It's a very similar story to mine. I was in my late 20s and I was literally living out what was this American dream from the outside looking in. And yet I found that the American dream on the inside is really a development of implosion. It's in a development of the fact that you are going to not thrive. You are going to hardly survive. You are going to barely be hanging on for dear life every single day. And we choose then all of these suppression tactics that the world has presented so easily that have been completely normalized, whether it's drinking, whether it's binge watching TV, whether it's binge eating. We choose these things to fill us up. And we know now as Christians, and those who are listening, maybe from the success lens, and you're not actually understanding, as Judy wasn't, to the fullest extent of who Christ is to us and how and why he died on the cross and how the Bible is relevant right now. And there's another side to the American dream. And it truly is the fact that we get to be here right now speaking about our faith, and that we're aired across the world for social media and these different people to tap in. And that's not a gift that a lot of people have. And so I do, of course, wave my American flag as well, but I'd love to hear, one of the things you mentioned is like the winding roads. I feel like I'm in that place, even in my own business, even though from everyone looking on the outside in, they're like, wow, she's doing this and that and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing, but it's a windy road, and often an uphill windy road, right? I'm doing switchbacks over here, Judy. And yet I know that I am progressing. I'd love to hear what that was like for you.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to 2003. when I had just left the practice of law. I had three little boys at the time, 2, 4, and almost 7. I just recently posted on social media a picture of me with my guys, all three of them on my lap, my baby, who I didn't think was in the picture. I had to look close and I'm like, oh yeah, he's being squished by his brothers. He's all there. And I don't know who took the picture, probably my dad. And next to me was this desk, this small little desk in the side of my family room, full of papers. I love paper. I don't like digital. I like to read. I have tons of notebooks. Anybody else out there, right?
Yes, they're all around me.
Yes, I mean, my desk, you know, I'm organized, but yet there's papers. But yeah, so now I forget my train of thought. But okay, so I was an interior decorator because I was home a couple of weeks and I called my mom and I go, Mom, how did you raise 6 kids without you losing your mind? And she's like, meanwhile, I'm crying. And I said, Mom, you know how much I love my boys. This is so harder. It was harder than my hardest case in the law. Yeah. And how do you do this? And she just laughed. She was quiet. And she said, Judy, you don't think about it. You just do it.
Yeah.
And you look to the Lord and you enjoy every moment. I wish I would have. I get weepy. I'm a very emotional person. I wish I would have been more present with them, because now they're men, luckily and thankfully, not luckily, thankfully, they're all lovers of Jesus Christ. The first two are called to the ministry. My third son, Jesus, but he's not called, which is perfectly great. But yeah, I was an interior decorator and I wasn't even trained, Tamara. I was HGTV trained.
Let's go.
Have a nap. No. And I felt like God saying, that's what I'm like, you know how it is. We're multi-passionate. Lord,
absolutely.
What's my first business?
Absolutely.
So long story short, I'm a lawyer, so I think strategically. I never want to lose. So I'm like, okay, what can I do to really jumpstart this business? So I got a booth at a home show a couple weeks after that, and I walked away from a weekend with 14 appointments. I closed 10 of them. And so then I'm like, okay, great. Now how am I going to do it when I'm full-time with the boys and all these things? So that was the beginning. And so then over years, I had to go back to the law because we were getting through a divorce. And then I got called into the C-suite as general counsel and HR director. And that was really awesome. But this is more recent when I was went into business as a coach with my twin sister.
Oh, cool.
She's my best friend for life. And if anybody would have said we could not work together, I would have said they're crazy because we were like this, you know? But I realized I couldn't work with her. So long story short, I spent 2019, the entire summer of 2019, on my couch with my notebook and the Bible praying, Lord, what is it? Should I stay in this niche that I'm currently in with my sister, or do you see more for me or different? And so what he told me is, you need me at the center of everything you do. I want you to focus on my daughters and I want you to go wide, service-based industries, but wide. I was in real estate at the time. He said, no, 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 go wide. And so I have walked that path ever since then. I don't see myself ever going off of that path. So yeah, there was a windy road to get here, but now I feel so solid and the work that I'm doing.
That's
earlier about my thing is normalizing miraculous results. That's kind of like a tagline.
Let's go. I love this.
Because we should pursue the impossible, because in Christ, the impossible is possible. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so that's the name of my upcoming, Pursue the Impossible. But anyway, so that's my windy road.
Well, I love windy roads. I love the authenticity of it, but I also love that people can get a backstory to what validates you. And obviously the Lord is the only one who validates us, but a lot of people who might have their ears perked to the fact that you were a real estate agent or the fact that you were an interior home designer or the fact that you were in law, y'all, I'm going through an interesting law scenario right now that I've never experienced. I've never had to do anything with the law other than like file my LLC and my S Corp. So it's a really interesting and, in my opinion, not so fun. It's like sticky and I feel out of alignment when I am in that space. And so every single time I'm thinking about whatever's going on, I'm constantly back in the Word, constantly, God, what do you say about this? Constantly having to find peace because I don't feel peace when there's like a conflict like that, right? But I say all of those things that if you can have a business coach that has backstory of lawyer, anything, law degree, anything, attorney, anything, man, they're going to set you up for success because they're like, oh, we're going to avoid every pitfall. Like contracts, for instance, it's something that people, especially in the coaching industry, just don't even think about. They're like, oh no, I'll just close this deal. I would love to know, did you have a contract when you closed your first interior design deals?
Of course I did.
You yes, did, but nobody else does.
Right. I mean, certainly not the smaller independents when they first get started. They don't realize how dangerous it is and how important it is. You mentioned the LLC or the S Corp. Do not be a sole proprietor. You open up all of your assets
yes.
to possible, liability. But I will say that especially real estate and some other industries, they make you so fearful of being sued. And so that is good that I always have a disclaimer. This is not legal advice. I'm not acting as your lawyer. I'm your business coach. But for educational purposes, I will tell you that being sued is something that rarely happens. And it's interesting, you know, even as a lawyer, I will say this. There is a verse in the Bible. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's something to the effect of, why do you expect justice in a pagan court?
Right. Oh, gosh, I have it right here. Keep going. I'm going to share it as you're talking.
Okay. And so what I found is that I was very out loud with my faith, even as a lawyer. And this is even before I, as I said, came to Christ. I would love to talk about Jesus. I would always meet a brother or sister in court, whether it's the bailiff, whether it's another person, another, rarely a lawyer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, and so I'm real quick, I'll never forget my best day in court. It was no doubt in my brain. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I was freaking on fire. And it was so great because the judge left in tears and I knew it wasn't me. And I didn't even want to leave the courtroom. And the bailiff said, "Counselor, I ain't never heard anybody like that. And I've never seen the judge run off the bench." And I said, "Well, you know what? That judge thinks she sits on high, but the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty reigns." And he's like, "Woo!"
Oh my gosh, that's a miraculous moment, right? Speaking to miraculous success, right? This is the verse, 1 Corinthians 6:1-20. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, "Which one of you has a grievance against another? Does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels, and how much more than matters pertaining to this life?" It essentially goes on to talk about you should be handling these scenarios in church and not before a pagan judiciary system. And I literally sent that to my husband this morning. So the fact that you just brought that up, I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you, right? That's crazy. That is so crazy cool. So let's talk, Judy, because as you now have pivoted fully into serving women in this area, I get to do this so often. And there is some elements of scaling that keep people stuck. And one of those things, specifically Christian entrepreneurs, Christian women, is this idea of profitability, is this idea that, like, I shouldn't have money, right? Like, money is bad. Now, we know the verses, we've talked all about them the last 5 years, but I want you guys to hear there is so much more opportunity, and its profitability looks different to everyone. So Judy, how do you help people break down those limiting beliefs to actually stand courageously in towards the calling that they have?
Okay. Many different angles we could go. Let's start here on the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
I look to the parable of the talents to actually proclaim something that I don't know that anybody else ever said. And Lord God, if this is wrong, please tell me, because you've never told me this isn't right. I feel like when we play small, it is a sin. Okay. It's not just you being humble to the nth degree. It's you being sinful. How do I know that? Or why do I believe that? It's not because Judy said it. It's because of the way I interpret the parable of the talents. What did the master say to the person, the man, who buried the one talent? "Get away from me, you wicked, lazy servant." Okay. So that's where I get that from.
Good.
So he was playing it safe, but what he did was operated out of fear. The decision he made to bury that, and I'm getting chills right now, is because he was fearful of losing it. What are we fearful of when we play small? Oh, I don't know what my mom-in-law will think of me. I don't know what my husband will think of me. I don't know what my kids will think of me. I don't know what, you know, I'm not as good as so-and-so. Yep. No, everybody, each one of us has a unique voice and a unique message that when we sit before the Lord, he's going to download it and say, okay, there's no new idea under the sun, but the way we say it, the way you package yourself, Tamara, the way I package my brand and my isms, as I call them, is just the Lord speaking uniquely through me. And when we don't do that, that's a problem. And so how does that relate to profitability? Well, the more we get out there and you're putting on conferences and you've opened this nonprofit and you're doing all these amazing things for the Lord, what if you didn't? Somebody else would have to step in and do what God had for you. Yeah. And so everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice right now, go to the Lord and say, what do you have for me? I believe that I've only begun to scratch the surface of what he's called me to. And I'm 57, so I'm kind of feeling like I'm behind the eight ball. But yet, I got to trust the Lord's timing that it's
perfect, right? That's right.
So all I want to say is, if you're like, ooh, it's sinful for me, you're not chasing money. And I posted this recently, too. I'm not chasing money. I am chasing my client's success.
Yeah,
I am speaking and calling out those that are called to big things to say, let's go.
Let's
really go and pursue what's possible.
That's so good. And I think too, a lot of people forget about, like, because that can feel sticky for people to be like, oh no, I was actually keeping this safe for whatever reason, right? The nobility side of it that you mentioned, humility side of it. I always say that you're blocking somebody else's blessing without stepping into that calling. I think about the seven deadly sins. And so often we have these like easy things. I say they're easy to admit, but like the facade of a limiting belief, right? I'm scared of success. I'm fearful of success. I'm fearful of failure. I don't think I'm worthy. And these are like, you know, heartfelt things that are true and maybe premised out of trauma. But on the other side of that, there is sin. And the sin would be connected to sloth, right? To being a sloth, to burying your talent for years and years and years and sitting on that thing, or moving with such small movements that the sloth can't tell, is the sloth moving or is the sloth still sitting, right? And so I question that within people to be like, stop saying that this is the thing when it's actually just your lack of action. And this is connected to what we were talking about earlier with people, is this conversation of where and how do you courageously step into these miraculous experiences with the Lord? What do you think the variables were between the one who took the talents and multiplied it by two, multiplied it by five? What is the thing that you see as, you know, some people call it the it factor. Emily Ford calls it the it factor. What do you see in people that allows you to say, yes, I want to partner with you. And yes, I know that I know that I know that you're going to see traction.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly the tenor of your question. Like, are you saying why they would say yes to me or to why they would invest in their business with someone? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think more so, like, what do you think are the internal things or the practices that someone's going to need in order, like, their own persona traits, right? Everybody's capable, but you're going to see someone and be like, I don't think I can work with you, or I think you're the right fit.
Yeah. Well, I will start here. When we fully embrace who the Lord made us to be, that is when success will feel lighter.
It's good.
You won't feel the pressure. Too many times, and I always thought I was really real, and I, you know, the more coaching and the internal self-coaching and the mindset work and the going to the Lord, sitting at his feet, the more I see how much I was holding back and how much I was kind of filtering a little bit. And I want to take all that off because, as you said, that's like a facade. But I really think that when we fully embrace who it is God made us to be, warts and all, okay, the silliness, I'm super smart, but I'm super silly.
Yeah.
I like to work hard, play hard. And so if I don't show all the edges of me, then you really may not get what it would be like working with me, or my clients may not see kind of what I bring that maybe somebody else doesn't. And so think about that you for yourself as you're sitting there, say, wow, today I'm going to spend time with the Lord and say, who am I? What are my edges that maybe I'm like filtering out, and should I be filtering them out? Maybe, maybe not. Right. But that is when we step in. I call that your zhuzh.
Your zhuzh. Tell me more. Zhuzh.
Your special zhuzh, your special something. Do you know that when I started in business, I wouldn't tell people that I'm a lawyer. I didn't think it was relevant.
Wow. I already pointed that out, y'all. It's powerful.
Yes. And now I know it. And now it's at the forefront of what I do. I always want to tell people that. And why? Because, and I always tell this story. My first day of law school, I'm a poor girl. The fact that I was in law school, every day I would go in and I would look up at the building at Villanova and I would say, and my dad was alive. My mom and dad. And I'd say, Lord, let mom and dad see that I'm here. Let them know how much I appreciate them. And I would walk in and I would just be in awe of just even being there, you know? But it's this whole idea of understanding that in law school, they taught me, you're going to learn how to think. You're going to be given the keys of the kingdom is what they said. And so I liken it to say, hey, clients that work with me, you're going to get my legal brain, but my strategic brain. And I teach you how to think strategically, how to think like a CEO, which is very strategic, very intentional. And you strategize to win. We'll never lose as long as we say, okay, even when I'm failing, quote unquote, what can I learn and how can I, you know, apply something differently? And sometimes it's just those little tweaks that make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And speaking to strategy and operations, and those are some of the things that we can see as cumbersome and we can see as a pitfall of, I can just focus on what I'm really, really good at and I'll leave that side to be for somebody else. Or maybe one day when I hire somebody, then they can take care of that side, or I can hire somebody to develop that operation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
What is your thought pattern on knowing a little bit about every element of your business before you hand it off and put it into control of somebody else?
It's pivotal, right? It's so interesting you say that. One of the biggest mistakes I see for women at all levels, and it becomes mostly important when you're scaling, when you're at multi-six and want to get closer to that seven figure and beyond, is I see them either over-hiring and over-delegating or trying to do it all themselves. They're like control freaks. Yeah. Hello, I'm a control freak. Okay. But even when you hire, I'll take a simple example that everybody talks about. Your first hire should be a VA or a social media manager. I don't necessarily ascribe to that. Can't get into that now. But the point is, even if you hire a social media agency, please set KPIs. Help them understand. It is not just about posting five times a week and doing so many reels and stories. It is about what is the revenue driver, so that when she's putting her posts and stories together, it's not, oh, great, I got this done. No, it is, what do I have to say to this best client? They have to know your best client. They have to know your values. They have to know, have an understanding of all of that. You know, what is their mission? To get three booked consults that week? That's the KPI. not just, okay, I posted all these things, now pay me. No, right. That doesn't move the business.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that there's a big element of what people don't see, and that's like the conversation starters. Like Instagram or these other social media places, people are doing what you're saying. They're checking the box and saying, well, I post every day. Well, what is the post saying? What is the post projection? What is the post message? What is the call to action connected to those things, which then engages people into conversation? The ultimate thing is pulling them away from social media and into their email anyway, because you can't convert on IG unless you're in the DMs all the time, which is still going to lead to an email or a phone call. And so there's like understanding, this is the operational side of, I got to have a better social media following. I need bigger platform. And that's what I was just came from a speakers and writers conference this past week called She Speaks. And everyone was talking about the element of platform growth, which 5 years ago, they were like, Tamara, you don't have a big enough platform, so you can't publish this book. And funny enough, I published the book, and it's a part of my entire destiny in storytelling is the fact that like I did it anyway. And what it sounds like for me and you is this like back and forth is, why listen to the man or whomever that is? It goes back to the judge and the secular. Why listen when you know in your spirit that this is the next step for you? You could have easily stayed in that partnership with your sister because, well, you didn't want to hurt her feelings, or you didn't want it to make a mess of anything with your family or your finances or breaking a partnership, or it was just, things are okay. We'll just stay in the okay. And your podcast is called the Joyful Scaling Podcast. If you know anything about me, joy is my jam. I spend a lot of time developing it and a lot of time giving it out. And I want to know, what is the heart set behind that? And how has your podcast been an agent to your growth?
Wow. Well, the joy, we're called as Christians to rejoice in all circumstances. So I knew joy had to be a part of my independent brand as a coach. I mean, And the more I study business, and I study, you know, I'm not like, it's interesting. You see people out there, they call themselves coaches. It's unregulated, whatever. And you wonder what kind of real world experience they have in the real business world, corporate world, or even what like life experience they have that would really lend itself to that. But I am so into like helping my clients live their faith in their business. And so we're called to be joyful. So are you joyful? And there are times, hey, every day there will be something that comes up that could steal us of our joy, whether it's one of those whispers of the enemy in our brain, or if it's a call from a client or a call from something personal, whatever, we have to stay in joy. And it's about how we approach our work. So, you know, if someone out there is listening and they're struggling, I want you to understand you're struggling because you have a thought about that.
Yeah.
And as soon as you switch that thought, and it's not a, as the world would say, reframe. No, you're believing a lie.
Yeah.
You're believing a lie. You're believing you have to hustle. You're believing that you have to do all these things that the marketing gurus, who, by the way, want you to buy their stuff. That's why they're telling you email marketing is dead, which it's not. Okay. Think for yourself. More specifically, by that, I mean, go to the Lord. What is he telling you? And trust what he is saying. Trust our intuition because it's from the Lord.
Yeah.
So I really, that is so huge for me. And joy became the acronym for my scaling system, my joyful scaling method, which we could talk about if you like.
I want to. I'm so curious. And yesterday, so funny, we had somebody on who, his name is Bruce Pulver. He's all about words, and he travels the country in corporations and helps them identify words as acronyms. He has a whole book on it. So it's funny that we're talking about this today.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because my joyful scaling method has evolved over time. I hate how the world took the word evolved, but yes, it did. But joy is really an acronym for jumpstart, optimize, and yield. Jumpstart, optimize, and yield. But let me break this down. The jumpstart is now what I call your breakthrough scaling strategy. Mm-hmm. This is the front facing that too many people skip over, or you just kind of go along with the way it's always been. That is specifically your marketing, your sales, and your delivery.
That's good.
You mentioned earlier about the importance of when we post on social media. Sometimes we have to be very intentional about who the heck we're wanting to talk to. You don't need tens of thousands of followers. What you need are 100 of super loyal people who love your message, love your mission, love your vision, love your core values, that kind of thing. So anyway, the breakthrough strategy allows us to go really deep in what your marketing is all about. And then your sales, what is your sales process? And then delivery, are your clients getting results?
Yeah.
Do you know that there are some people tracking that? They're not really, they don't really care. They're just like, get them in. Come on. Here's another client. Let's make our $100,000 for the month. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's your jump start, or now what I call your breakthrough strategy. Yeah. The optimize is your operation strategy. And as you said, visionaries, and I know for me, this organization's not been my forte over the years. That's been something I had to work on. But the operations is what gives you the scalability.
Yep.
It is your team that helps drive revenue. That is not an expense. Every dollar that you invest, that's what you're doing, investing in your team, they are giving you an ROI of at least that dollar plus one back. Okay.
Yep.
So when you set it right. And then, of course, the SOPs. Do you have standard operating procedures so that if, God forbid, your right hand, you know, were to decide to go somewhere else, like you would know what they do, how they do it exactly?
Yep.
And then the final piece of that operation strategy is automation. What can we automate? What can we totally just make so that nobody has to touch it? It's once and done. So that's your optimize or operation strategy. And then the why is your yield, which now I call your profit strategy. Everybody talks about revenue. I'm on a seven-figure business.
Yeah.
How many seven-figure businesses do you know, Tamara? I know a bunch that there's cash flow issues.
Yep.
Profit is not what you might expect.
Yep.
And yet they're seen on social media in front of fancy cars. They're wearing designer clothes. And meanwhile, they're struggling.
Yeah.
So in the profit strategy, we look at the revenue and the profit. We look at the numbers hard. And so then you know what to track, how to track it, that kind of thing. We also look at short and long-term planning. And then, of course, strategic initiatives like referrals and collabs and affiliates and all that kind of thing. So, it's the joint scaling method. Those three strategies. And even if you implemented just one of them, it could significantly impact your business. So when you dial in all three, forget it. You know, the trajectory is like, again, you're pursuing the impossible and you're normalizing the ridiculous.
Well, Judy, I'll tell you, I get to talk to a lot of coaches. This has really been how the evolution of even just this show has been, and having a lot of people that come in from a coaching perspective. And we talk about their methodology. We build out their offer. We design the curriculum. What does that look like for them? How are we going to market it? What are the assets connected to that? But this is the next step, you all. This is what true scaling is. You can launch a lot of things, but if you are not consistently growing said launch or focused on the scalability of said launch, you're going to get stuck stagnant in that particular piece. And you're going to be literally chasing your tail because you're not focused on these internal elements that Judy's talking about. So she knows what she's talking about simply by sharing that specific acronym. You guys should have been writing notes. I honestly encourage you to go back, write down everything that she just said, and not put a check mark next to them, because this is not something you get to ever check off as an entrepreneur. I never get to check off, oh, my SOPs are done, because guess what? I'm doing something new today that I didn't do yesterday. Have I tracked it? Or have I gone back to the old SOPs and enhanced it? Right? And so to be very, very intentional with all of these things, that the way I would suggest it would be put a green, a yellow, or a red next to them. So write them all down and analyze where you are. Man, I'm so good at my marketing. My message is so good. My influence is growing every single day. Awesome. That's green. Now go into the operational side, the optimization side. Do you have SOPs? Oh, no. I didn't a couple years ago, and I was bringing and hiring in new people. We actually hired somebody to come in just to do our SOPs last year. Several thousand dollars, 16 to be exact, in case you're curious, $16,000 for a 4-month contract. At the end of it, because we had so many different broken pieces and things going on, she left and I had nothing. And there is an intentional reason why, not because she sort of didn't do her job. We can talk about that another time. But simultaneous to that, things were constantly changing so much that we didn't have an SOP. There was no standard. There was like, how do you feel today? Well, what's the market doing tomorrow? You guys have to find an element of self that puts you in rhythm. That's your rhythm, not the rhythm of the world. Facebook and Instagram go down on the same day. Oh no. What do? We freeze. We have nothing to do. No. What is your SOP for bringing in new people and serving your community? And if you don't have that, that's needs to be a red, and you need to focus on that today. So we could go down all of those things. Again, zoom back, write down everything Judy just taught you in the joy scalability zone and label yourself where you are right now and be okay with evolution. You know, I think we forget, Judy, often that like God and Jesus's ministry evolved when he was here. His ability to speak, if you look at it, he started in really small crowds and then he was in crowds with thousands. The speakers want to jump in front of the thousands that the Lord has given them vision over, and they haven't started with the one really well. So stewardship is about not just the financial side of what we have, but the stewardship of our gift.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear from you as I'm like saying this out loud. Were there any other like, oh yeah, what about this? Any other aha moments or things that you want to share with the community? This is really rich. You guys are actually getting, not listening to a podcast, you're getting a coaching session right now because this is what Judy would come in to teach my mastermind.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say I go in deeper about more specifics within my Joyful Scaling Method. If anybody would like the link to that YouTube, I can send it to you, Tamara. You can drop it in the show notes. Or yeah, that'd be great. But when you're talking about these, we see these influencers and they have hundreds and thousands of likes on our or on their social. And when ours doesn't, then we're kind of feeling like, it's not working. But wait a minute. Do you all understand? And in the beginning, I didn't either, way back in 2003, certainly. I didn't understand the power of just having even 5 or 10 people to get in front of and to really like pour out to them and not feel bad that, oh, only so many showed up to my event.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my most recent launch, I had almost 400 registered. And any one day, maybe 40 or 50 came live.
Right.
Now, the old me would be like, that's not good. The new me, yay, 40 or 50 came up. And then we had hundreds of views after that. So we really have to understand, do you know that there are some coaches out there and they're social media coaches and they go, oh, the replay. You can't trust the replay. If they're not there with you live, you don't have it. Don't bother. I was like, the first time somebody told me that, I don't know, like 7 years ago, I remember thinking, wait, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And now I know it is right. Okay. Cause I follow this one 8-figure person. And when she goes live, she only has like 12 people watching.
Right. Right. But this is encouraging.
In a week, she's got like 300, 400, 500, maybe more. Depends on whether she's in launch mode or not. But I want us to understand that when we, you know, we should really, again, as Christians, take to heart what God has said, do everything as unto me. Trust me. I did a reel earlier today and it's going out tomorrow. It's about AI. I have a coach who she keeps telling me about ChatGPT and I'm like, I love you, not doing it.
No.
Okay. She's like, Judy, you're really missing the boat. So you got to watch my reel for tomorrow.
Okay. I'm excited. Okay.
So see what I said is, you know, ChatGPT doesn't know your heart.
Right.
ChatGPT can't know your best client as intimately as you if they know them really at all.
Yep.
And they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit so that it could look like, oh, I'm talking to nobody. You don't even know. I can't tell you how many clients come to me and they're like, I don't know where I found you. One of my clients, I interviewed her, I don't know, a couple months ago. And she goes, Judy, do you know that I found an ad of yours? That's how I found you. And you weren't even running an ad at the time, but it popped up in my...
I've had that. It's so good. You're like, I actually didn't do that, but I'm really glad the Holy Spirit allowed himself to reveal me to you, right?
That's right.
Oh, so we have good.
Holding ourselves back. You talked about limiting beliefs and I'm talking about the miraculous.
Yeah.
You see, for me, faith-based, I'm faith-fueled. Faith-based is full of hope. To me, faith fueled where everything, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, they're fueled by your faith. That is the miraculous realized. That's when we realize it's not what I can do. I can only do this much, but the Lord God can do this much.
So good.
And so we really need to live that out.
That's so good. I'm going to be vulnerable real quick and share with you as we're talking about the highs and lows of business this morning over said scenario that we already talked about. I was in tears. My husband had just left and he's such an encourager. He's such a mentor, even in the entrepreneurial space, because he's been doing it much longer than me. And so every time I ever hit a roadblock, he's always like, babe, I've been there. And that gives me such hope just by saying that, because he's not there anymore, right? I've got to see that trajectory. I've got to be a part of that walk. However, I was in that place, that mindset of like, man, this is terrible. Man, this isn't going to work. Man, this is like such a shame. I think of all the things, offended. And just recently, the Holy Spirit had brought me to The Bait of Satan. And it's a book by John Brevere. It talks all about forgiveness and the offense. And that book was given to me a week before I found out about this lawsuit. So I'm sitting there crying and I'm thinking, I'm praying to the Lord. I got my hands and my palms open and I'm like, God, do it again. I've seen so many miracles through this business. And it's not about let me win, because that's not my heart. It's about let her heart be known to you, God. Let yourself be known to her heart. Soften her heart. Let her see with eyes that only you can see. It's me too, right? Because it's not just about the other person. And as I was praying, I thought, what can I do that brings me joy right now? Because there's no way I can start my day with this being the friction and the tension that I feel. And so for some, this is going to sound crazy, but I started building reels, because I look at reels like I'm telling a story. What story do I want to tell today? And storytelling to me is joy giving, because it's basically journaling. It's documenting what has been documented in my phone from a quick video or a picture. What's the story I wanted to tell? And Jesus told stories every single time he was in a hard predicament. He just started telling stories. And so I spent the next 25 minutes building out reels for my different platforms and videos and writing messages. And I walked into the rest of my morning with such joy, with such hope, with such expectancy, because of the miracles God has done before. There's going to be miracles on the other side of whatever in your business today is hard, whatever in your life today is hard, whatever in your marriage today is hard. And to realize, as you can clearly hear from Judy's heart, and I think we saw her husband in the room too, was this understanding that there is a full picture. And so when you work with people, understand their full picture, because that's going to give you such a heart space for them and hold space. And that's a hard thing to do as a coach sometimes, to hold space for other people. But that is what brings us joy in the long run. And then the longevity of what God has called us to is ultimately about being able to be a witness and knowing that that's what this is, an honor to truly hold space for, but to know that there are going to be tears just as much as there are smiles. And it's the posture of our heart that predestines us for that scalability zone, for that success, for what I like to call sustenance instead of success.
I love it. I love it. I want to land hard on something you said.
Please.
You were referencing the resistance, resistance. Whatever you are resisting, whatever really feels hard, whatever you may be running away from, run toward it, just the way David ran toward Goliath, because that is where your next breakthrough is going to happen.
So good.
That is exactly where your next breakthrough is going to happen. So if you, when I talk about operations, if you're like me years ago, la, 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 don't have to think about that. Too busy. Don't have time to slow down. You don't have time not to slow down. The sooner you get ops in place, and it's really not as hard as you may think, okay? As soon as you get that in place, you're going to have less stress. Because right now, whether you know it or not, when you think about ops, if you go, that is a weight. Get that albatross off of you, okay? Go toward that, pursue that, make that a goal. And when that is figured out, you'll be like, wow, I can
so
do anything.
True.
You can build your confidence.
That's so true. I think people are so often trying to run and they've got shackles to what they need to do and they know they need to do it, but they're trying to run towards what feels better and what is exciting and the stages, right? And I say stages loosely because it could be a lot of different things. It could be the books. It could be the podcasts. It could be anything. One thing that, as you were saying that, I'm like, oh man, I hope people hear this, is this understanding that all of these things work together for your good. And when you put one of those things to the side, it's hard to touch and taste the good in the midst of that. Now, we always have our good Father. He is the provider. He provides the manna in the midst. But he's asking you, just as the parable of the talents that we started with, he's asking you, are you stewarding it well, or are you stewarding it out of fear? And that's that conversation of resistance. Man, Judy, you've given so much gold today, not a pun, but totally a pun connected to the talents. And so I know that people are going to be able to follow you and learn from you. You mentioned your YouTube channel, and I know you're on IG and Facebook. Where else can people come to learn from you and to potentially partner with you if they're in that stage of growth and scalability?
Okay. I want to say you can check out my podcast at Judy Weber Co. /podcast, but I have a free gift for your people.
Yay.
Okay. And that is my hiring guide.
Ooh.
Only if you're in the beginning stages, and even if then, you will want to download this when you're ready. Okay. Because it's time to hire your dream team and take all the guesswork out of strategic hiring. So inside this guide, it's judyweber.co/hiringguide. Again, I'll give Tamara all these links. You're going to learn who to hire, when to hire, what to pay, where to find the right people. So no matter where you are in your stage of business, you're going to want to download this hiring guide, judyweber.co/hiringguide.
So good.
Absolutely free.
Links are in the show notes for sure on all of our listening platforms. I'm just excited for people to have another person in their community and it, as an arsenal, like a tool belt person, right? Good. We've got people listening now who just said she's loved every single word. This has been really rich and really educational. And I don't get that on the show all the time. It's very testimonial driven, which I love, but I'm a coach and I want people to understand that there is a lot that goes into the back end of that. And that's what a lot of the people want to do now. They're shifting out of their corporate arena. They're shifting into that next season of life and they want to be able to kit it effectively for people. Don't just think about the message and their mission. Think about what's happening on the inside so you don't implode and your business doesn't fail like a mass majority do within the first 2 to 5 years. So let's keep running hard after those miracle moments, y'all. Judy, I can't wait to do it with you now that we're buddies, and I'll be on your show soon too. So be sure that you guys follow along. And one of our favorite things, little gems you can give us, is to leave a review in those places. Subscribe to our YouTube channels. Y'all know how it works, but we really do appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and this is going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Faith team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out. And thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms. And I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.